Today my visitor is Sister Anne Warren. Sister Anne, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you, Beate.
Sister Anne Warren was born in Ireland and is a sister of the Holy Faith with a background in primary school education. She holds a master's in pastoral studies and a graduate diploma in Christian spirituality. She has studied in Auckland, Australia, and the United States. Sister Anne is one of the spiritual companions who regularly come to the Mercy Spirituality Center to meet with her clients. She also facilitates different workshops and retreats at our center. On Thursday, 28th of August, Sister Anne will facilitate a workshop in the Mercy Spirituality Center with the title Prayer in Our Busy Lives. Sister Anne, you are a sister of the Holy Faith, a religious congregation founded in Dublin, Ireland, just like the Sisters of Mercy.
Right.
The Holy Faith Sisters work mainly in education, advocacy, pastoral work, and in areas like spiritual direction and companioning and counseling. And with your master's in pastoral studies and your work as spiritual director and counselor, you follow the tradition of the Sisters of the Holy Faith. What drew you to this kind of work?
Well, firstly, to education. Before I left high school, I was very fortunate to realize and have the opportunity to try this out, that I could teach. And in fact, I enjoyed teaching and I was quite good at it. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Congregation of the Sisters of the Holy Faith, which was mainly a teaching order at that time, and we were founded particularly for education, mm-hmm. education of children, especially the poor. And education and faith has always been a priority in our congregation. I became a teacher and I loved my teaching career. It finished fairly soon after 23 years when I was called to take on another ministry in our congregation. Mm-hmm. And during that time that I was being initiated into the new ministry, I was advised that it might be helpful for me to take a course in listening skills. Not sure why that was, but that they thought I wasn't a good listener.
Or maybe you were a good listener and they wanted to perfection it.
Oh, thank you. So I found a course in listening skills here in Auckland, and when I completed that, the tutor at the time asked me if I would consider completing a counselling degree, because the listening skills was part of that course, which I had not intended really continuing. So with some guidance and some prayer, I decided that I would work towards the counselling. I did do that, and I practiced counselling for several years. That was a very special work and a privileged work, and I was happy to do that because I myself had received lots of help in my life from different people in counselling situations, so it was lovely to give something back. Mm-hmm. I guess the spiritual direction is somewhat similar. When I was finished the work that I was doing within the congregation, I was talking with my spiritual director and discerning what I would do in the future, whether I would continue with counselling or what I would do. Because at that time there were very good teachers out there who could teach this in the schools and who were people of deep faith, and it wasn't absolutely necessary that we continue teaching in schools as sisters. So my spiritual director said to me at one stage, would you consider becoming a spiritual director? Well, I hadn't thought of that, quite honestly, so again that was a time for more prayer and discernment. And again I felt that I was being called to this. I actually hadn't chosen it. Like the counselling, someone had invited me to do this. And also, I had received a lot of help in my life from many spiritual directors. And this would be, again, an opportunity for me to share something of that with others. And so I felt that the pointers were that that I was invited to do these, to take these ministries on. And so in that way, after discernment, I did feel that it was a call from God.
You were listening to it.
I was, I guess, yeah.
Do you think that the combination of pastoral work and counseling and companioning, what you were mentioning now, mm-hmm. helps you to smell like the sheep, as Pope Francis expected of priests and pastoral workers?
Well, I would hope so. I think both counseling and spiritual direction are very privileged, as I said earlier, very privileged ministries, because people trust us with their lives in many ways. We enter into their lives and they share very deeply with us. As you know, I no longer actually work as a counselor, so my main work now is with spiritual direction and retreat work. But again, people are very trusting of what they share, and I'm walking with people. And I guess I could say, yes, I feel like the shepherdess who walks beside the sheep and just helps to guide them, finding their way, because people are really trying to find their way to see where God is in their lives, active in their lives.
Yes.
So I would hope so. I would hope.
Great. Mm. And I understand you've conducted workshops on transition.
Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning now with you are guiding and helping the people.
Uh-huh.
So the workshops on transition for many different groups of people, and you've done it overseas and in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
What does transition in this context mean? Can you tell me more about these kind of workshops?
Sure. Firstly, we all go through transitions all through our lives, and we're going through them all the time, and often we don't realize it. You know, we go through developmental transitions. Everyone has to go through those. And we're probably more conscious of that as children reach teenage stage. That's a big transition, mm-hmm. and then into young adulthood. But from the time we're born, we're going through transition in that area. Also, what I do at these workshops is teach that. I try to have the workshops as interactive as possible so that people can share and relate to what is being taught. And I believe that the transitions are a very normal part of life, and it's very important for all of us that we recognize that we also recognize the different aspects of transition. So transition also happens, of course, when there are events in our lives like illness or marriage, the birth of a new baby, the death of a loved one, a huge transition at that stage. Moving, even just moving from one side of the city to the other, if we move house. Losing a job, huge transition, or going to a new job. And retirement, which often isn't really referred to so much as a transition, can be a very difficult transition time, as can older age and so on. All of these transitions are difficult, have their own difficulties, I suppose. Now, so what do they mean for people? Firstly, we talk about transition. I think this is important. There are three aspects to it. There's the aspect of where I'm living now in this present situation, and we refer to it as normal sometimes, so whatever passes for normal. And then we move into a transition stage, if we're in an ending stage firstly, and then into transition, and then into the new life. They're the three stages.
So the first stage is what I'm living now?
Is what you're living now, moving into endings.
Mm-hmm.
Because we anticipate what's coming, so we move into endings. And the really, really important part of transition is that we do those endings well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important. So from doing our endings well, we move in then into the transition stage, the real heart and soul of transition. And that's often called a liminal space, or it's called the neutral zone, because it can be a very, very difficult time when people are not sure where they are. You know, I described it one day to a group as standing in the middle of a bridge which is surrounded by fog, and life is going on underneath and overhead and beside us, but we just feel as if we're in a fog. That can be a time of deep grief for people, because they've suffered a loss in at the ending time. And so the transition time is a time of deep grief, usually. And that can go on for any length of time. Everyone grieves differently, and that's mm-hmm. all right. And it's important that we realize that it is normal for us to grieve, and important also for us to express that grief.
So are there different prayers for each different phases?
Yes, I would suggest to people, keep up whatever way and form of prayer you have, that it's important that you keep that up. And say at the beginning stage when you're doing your endings, try and choose a scripture reading that would be related to whatever's happening. So like if it's a case of moving, shifting, or moving from one country to another, one place to another, you could choose, for example, Exodus 13, which is about the Israelites departing from Israel, from Egypt, sorry. It's a time of departure, of journey, of transition and new beginnings. And so on, right through, and there are scripture passages to go with everything. If it's a call and discerning a call, well, then we could perhaps look at the call of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, or Mary's call in Luke. Other transitions, transitions are often struggling times, and we could look at Jacob wrestling with God. Mm-hmm. So they're just examples. Then the grief time, I usually invite people to try. It's a hard time to pray, and it's often a time when you feel God is absent. So I usually invite them to pray some grief prayers, as I call them, and call out to God and cry out to God, as Job did. He said, I will cry out my pain.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me a mail at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Sister Anne Warren. She will facilitate a workshop in our Mercy Spirituality Center on 28th of August. Her topic is prayer in our busy life. And Sister Anne is a sister of the Holy Faith and regularly facilitates workshops and retreats in our center. She has explained to us how her work as spiritual counselor and then spiritual director has been the catalyst for that workshop on prayer. And she said that spiritual directors are extremely trusted by people, and it's about walking with people. And now we were mentioning transition, because we are all going through developmental transition, often without even knowing it. And there are scripture passages for every stage of life. And that's so comforting when you cite the quote, some scripture passages. That's really good. And when I think of other workshops that you've facilitated in our Mercy Spirituality Center, I think of presentations and workshops around Hildegard von Bingen mm-hmm. or Mechthild von Magdeburg, for example, and both of them are German mystics who had visions. They wrote many books and were certainly deeply spiritual. What could we learn from them today for our ways of praying?
Thank you. Yes, they were wonderful women. And I would say, first of all, that we are not all called to be mystics, and we don't all have mystical experiences. But they certainly taught us a lot. A lot about prayer in particular. And Hildegard found, for example, that she couldn't express about her relationship with God. And we talk about prayer as our relationship with God. She said she could not explain those deep mystical experiences fully just by speaking. So she wrote. And she actually was called to write. She heard God calling her to write. But she also expressed herself in music, art, and poetry. So we can also express our relationship with God in many different ways, in ways that are particularly suited to us and to our upbringing.
It's very individual, the prayer.
It is. It's like a relationship with any other human being. It's different. Each one of our friends, we have a different relationship with them, each person has a different relationship with God. We don't all come out of the same box, if you like. And Hildegard spoke about prayer as searching out the house of your heart. And she speaks about the interconnectedness of all things. She's also, these are things that we can really pick up from her, the different expressions of the way we relate to people and the way we relate to God will be similar.
Yeah.
Because if we can relate well with people, we relate well with God, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Justice was a big thing for her, something we can look at too today. And she talked about justice as lived out between the human and the earth.
Okay.
She also said things like that neither science nor theology awaken people. It's the arts that awaken us.
So any kind of art.
Mm. Yes, yes. And she called us co-creators with God, which I think is beautiful. So what can we learn from her today? Well, firstly, as I said, we're not all called to be mystics, but her great love for God, her great love for creation and an abiding sense of the goodness of all of creation.
Yes.
Beautiful. She said also, this is so important for us today, spirituality cannot remain a one-on-one relationship with God. We are called to be disciples, and we're called to discipleship.
Yes.
And she said discipleship is meant to change the world.
So it's something active.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the challenge for us. Her very strong sense of justice was a balance lived out between the human and the earth, as I explained. Mechtild, like Hildegard, had a very deep relationship with God. She saw God's role in guiding the universe. And she assures us, which I find very comforting, that we can change, that as humans we can change and be transformed at profound levels. She says God is present in both the negative and positive feelings. She related to God quite differently to the way Hildegard did. Mechtild was brought up in a family where she was very familiar with the king's court and with courtly love scenes and so on. So her expressions were often quite erotic in ways, but also very beautiful because she, you know, she said things like, I cannot dance, O Lord, unless you lead me. And led it into a beautiful prayer. So it was connected to the dancing at the court.
Another kind of art.
Yes, another art, exactly, exactly. She called us also, she said, we're called to loosen the bound and to care for the broken.
Mm-hmm. And in June, you gave a presentation on the life of Brother Roger of Thésée.
Mm-hmm.
So we're mentioning now the two mystics, and right now Brother Roger of Thésée, he's an amazing man who was killed exactly 9 years ago.
Right.
And he wrote several prayer books. What is so special of these prayers?
Brother Roger had a very, very deep relationship with God and spoke always of God's love, God's deep love for us. And he spoke and writes all the time about the God who loves so much that this God cannot be an avenging God.
Mm.
And most of his writings are around that, built around the fact that God is love and that all God does is done in love. And all that God does is love. He learned that first from his mother, who, when times were difficult, would say, all I know is that God is love.
Yes.
So Brother Roger, or Roger, as we call him, Brother Roger, had this very important lesson that he wanted to send out to everyone and transmit. Especially, he had this great desire for Christian unity.
Yes.
And part of that, he was the love of God, God's love for each one, regardless of our tradition.
Yes, the love was more important than anything else.
Than anything else. And he wrote and spoke always about love, peace, and reconciliation. The church there in Thésée is called the Church of Reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
He practiced what he preached, and had this wonderful love. It shone through him, his relationship with God, his love for God, and his love for people. He attracted people, especially young people. And after his untimely death, a little girl from Switzerland wrote to the brothers, and she said that she had met Brother Roger just a short time before that, and she said, "I will always remember him. His face was shining." And then she said, "With love."
Oh, that's nice. So this is a little girl.
A little girl of 10. I thought that was a very beautiful explanation. So he was a man who listened to God and listened to others.
So that's like a key issue for, if you want to pray, you have to listen.
You
first.
Have to listen, yes.
And you call your workshop on the 28th of August, Prayer in Our Busy Lives.
Yes.
Do you refer to people who say they have no time for prayer?
Not necessarily, no, no. And actually, most people say, "I don't have time for prayer and I don't pray," when in fact they do. But it's not necessarily for those people, it's for all of us. And because we all need reminders and little ways of recognizing and seeing where God is in our lives, even when they are very busy.
And when you talk about busy, it always comes to my mind that Pope St. John 23rd, he said once, "To be always busy and yet never be in the grip of haste is a foretaste of heaven on earth."
Mm.
I think that Pope St. John 23rd expressed everybody's wish. Do you think that prayer can help you to avoid this grip of haste that the Pope was referring to?
It can. Especially if we can take even 5 minutes in a day just to be still. There's a huge recognition now that reflection and meditation helps to calm us down and to get our priorities right. And people are looking for that everywhere now. There are groups called mindfulness groups springing up, and people are just looking for that type of meditation. But with our prayer and eventually our relationship with God and eventually our great trust in God, we could slow down a little. We have to keep reminding ourselves. We're never perfect with that.
And on the announcement of your workshop, you raised the questions, how are faith and prayer connected?
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary to stop still, like what you just said, to pray? How can I find time for prayer when my life is so busy? Is there a type of prayer that suits busy lives? Lots of questions.
Mm.
How are you planning to find answers to all these questions?
I don't rely on myself entirely. I try to have as much interaction as possible during workshops, and so, you know, different people have different ideas. But I also offer input, and I offer input from different people, whatever I can find that would be most helpful for people. There's some input from Pope Francis. He had some very good advice to the people of the Archdiocese when he was Archbishop in Buenos Aires. And so also some of my own ideas and things that have helped me. And there are all just little ideas that will help us to just recognize God in our lives as we go through the day. One busy young mother told me that she says flash prayers.
Flash prayers?
Yes, flash prayers. You know, just you're so busy with the children and then something happens and you just say a quick prayer and then on. And she does that all through the day. She calls them flash prayers. And a lovely idea she had, if she listens to this, she'll recognize it, is that any time she hears an ambulance siren, she stops for just a second to pray for that person.
Yes.
Or if it's a police car, you know, pray, somebody needs prayer.
Because she's listening.
Yeah.
She's not overhearing it. She's listening.
That's right. That's right. So there'll be just offers of little ideas like that. Also offering people just a quiet time for their own personal prayer. Mm-hmm. The workshops are very simply quiet, very quiet, because people don't have that many opportunities during the day to be quiet. And so it's an opportunity for quiet personal prayer, and no one's put under any pressure of any sort. No one has to sit in the mat or anything like that. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to.
And especially, as you said before, doing every time of your life or any transition in your life, you have a different prayer.
Exactly.
So to learn, you cannot learn one prayer for the whole group. Each one needs different prayer.
Exactly. So hopefully all the different little ideas and suggestions, well, someone will pick up one or the other of them. They might help them.
So you will start with like a reading, scripture reading, or can you tell me a little bit?
A very short scripture reading. We'll start with, usually we do something like that and relate it to the prayer. And then we go on with the workshop. I have a PowerPoint that is directly related to that, and we go through the different points of the scripture.
Yes.
And just pick up how these can be helpful, or how we can relate them to different things in our lives, different parts of our lives, how we can have little reminders around us in the house, just a reminder simply, God is within.
Yes.
Or God is love, and God loves me, and all God does is love. Just different little reminders like that that we can have in our places.
And if you think of the different persons we're mentioning, like Mechthild and Hildegard and Brother Roger, and they had different ways of prayer.
Absolutely.
Different books of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they all found what they were looking for in these prayers. And as you said in the beginning, you have to start with listening.
Exactly. We all have to learn how to listen.
Yeah. And to have a bit of silence, otherwise you cannot hear.
That's exactly right.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for the information for the upcoming workshop, prayer and our busy lives. I hope that we'll have lots of people who come and appreciate this moment of silence, of listening, and finding your own kind of prayer. Mm-hmm. Maybe people who come have already their special way of praying.
Yes.
But
yes,
as it's individual, each one has a different way. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's even a support of each other if somebody comes and says, well, I'm struggling to find the right prayer.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Anne. Mm-hmm.